Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
And we are back, folks, for another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. Back with the crew, the best crew in the land when it comes to breaking down Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting over at themichiganinsider.com. And an opportunity to talk about maybe more flip targets, talk about senior evals going to play a big factor in how Michigan rounds out this class, with a focus also on the guys already in the class, some big takeaways. And then finally, something that I promised, that we were going to be focusing more attention on NIL. And right now, while there are several collectives that the University of Michigan endorses, there's one that the football program is working with basically exclusively. That's Champion Circle. And so we're going to have one of the guys from Champion Circle, a guy that we covered as a recruit, coming out of De La Salle back during his high school days, went on to play linebacker and fullback at Michigan. We're going to have Jared Wangler on to talk about, you know, kind of the state of NIL from his perspective at Michigan compared to other places and some of the exciting things that are going on with Champion Circle and the student athletes at the University of Michigan. So we'll get to that toward the end of the episode. But with that, let's welcome in the crew, the best crew in the land, as I like to call them, starting off first with Bryce Marriage. Bryce, how are you?
Solid. It doesn't feel like October. It's super warm. I'm not used to this. You know, I'm used to that fall crisp weather, and it's not that right now.
Yeah, it's coming. This is still Michigan. We're still going to get that weather. Steve Lorenz. Steve, it means a couple more weeks out there on the links, right? You go swing a couple clubs later?
I literally may be going to play 9 after we get done recording today, actually. I've been looking up some, trying to maybe hit a course that I haven't hit yet this year. But, yeah, that actually is funny. No, I may go hit later tonight, you know, because, like you said, it is coming, Sam. I actually think starting tomorrow, I think it's supposed to cool off quite a bit, so. Feel like more like football weather here in the next couple weeks, it feels like.
All right. So first of all, folks, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. That way, if they want to catch us, they can find us wherever they get their podcast. That's Google, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. We even have it on YouTube. I know YouTube has a podcast channel, right? We put these episodes up all the time on YouTube. So wherever they get their podcasts, they can find us. Of course, they can find us over on themichiganinsider.com. And right now, Steve, don't we have like a little incentive for the people to be able to capitalize on?
Yep. So we're running a 2 months for $1 deal. That would get you almost to the Ohio State game. Not quite. I think a good enough amount of time for people to understand how we are, what we do, the type of info we're able to get you guys day in and day out. And, I think by then you'd want to lock on heading into the Ohio State game, right? So, 2 months, $1. You got the analysis that Sam's been killing it with former coordinators for the Michigan football team. Zach and Alejandro have been awesome covering the team on the ground. And then Bryce, myself, and I think Davis is back doing basketball stuff for us, right? So, really have always had you covered from all corners, but this might be, this is a potentially historic season for Michigan football. So never a better time to get in and give it a whirl and see what you think for just $1. I feel like quietly the 2 months for $1 is always one of our most popular promos because it is only $1, there's really not a huge commitment. So yeah, no, I think I'd say now is the time. Purdue should be a big recruiting weekend. And then Ohio State after that. So yeah, give us a shot.
Absolutely. TheMichiganInsider.com is where you can do that. Again, that's TheMichiganInsider.com. So, fellas, a guy that we've been talking about for over a year, it's over. It's over with Brian Robinson, Bryce. Is that, I mean, what are whatever are they going to do as far as edge recruiting is concerned? It's just, you couldn't have seen this coming, could you? Of no. course, we can see it coming. Tongue in cheek. Want to wish Brian, his dad, George, want to wish them all the best at Kentucky, who quietly is putting together a nice class over there. But it's very clear, you know, Michigan has had its net cast very wide. And, you know, it wasn't like they had decided, hey, this is, we're going to put all our eggs now that some other guys are off the board. We're going to put all our eggs in the Brian Robinson basket. They still, you know, were looking very hard at evaluating other guys. And there was a recent offer that just went out that looks pretty promising.
Yeah. So Michigan, obviously, edge recruiting has been kind of hit and miss, especially lately. It's been, you know, miss. You had first Elias Rudolph flip to Miami. Mm-hmm. Then you had the Smith brothers, which I was a huge fan
NIL, of. NIL. I'm just out there.
All right. NIL.
I wasn't talking about anything you were talking about. Right. No. NIL just came to my head, Bryce.
It happened to go to Kentucky. If that's the reason, that's the reason. So they flip. And that leaves you with a couple edge rushers with Dominic Nichols and Devin Baxter, which I think we're going to talk about later on the show, who's been putting up phenomenal senior seasons. But they still want to add a couple more bodies to that edge position. And lo and behold, a guy that they've been tracking for months, you know, behind the scenes, Deshaun Warner. He's a high three-star committed to Kansas out of the state of Arizona. This is a guy that they kind of didn't want to see senior film. They watched it. They fell in love with it. And now they have offered him 6'4", 225 pounds, great bursts off the line of scrimmage. He's got really good technique. He can do the, you know, swim move. He can rip. You see a lot of, you know, moves beyond your age. And he just seems like a player that fits Michigan really well. Surprisingly, he's actually new to football. So he's only been playing a couple of years. And when I watched him, this is just a me opinion, but he gave me big time David Ojabo vibes.
I knew that's where you're gonna go.
And
that's where you're gonna go. Yeah.
He just reminds me of that. You know, as a pure athlete, I think that his high school said, you know what? Let's just put him at the edge and just go get the guy. Just go get the guy. You're just a pure athlete. You're better than the guy across from you. Just go get him. And that's what he does. He's got 24 tackles so far this season, 8 sacks, and interceptions. So I'm a huge fan of the offer. We're going to see kind of where things progress. Right now, he's been very, very pro Kansas on his Twitter since he's gotten that Michigan offer. But he's also had contact in other schools like Texas, Washington. So big-time programs are pursuing him. We're going to see if Kansas can hold on to him, but this is the first new domino of an offer at the edge position that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve, I was thinking Ojabo too, not just because of the raw athleticism, but the path to football. David Ojabo was, he obviously came from overseas, but they saw a really good athlete and they just said, hey, okay, just go get the quarterback. It was the same scenario. And then at the same time, Michigan has shown the ability to develop those kinds of guys, David Ojabo being a big example. So it would seem to portend a really good path for Deshaun Warner if he wound up flipping to Michigan.
Yeah, interesting. Texas, Washington, Michigan looking to flip the Arizona native from Kansas. like, you know, all corners of the country, like a very interesting dynamic there. But yeah, I mean, we know what Michigan does at the edge position. I think, at this point, more than almost any school in the country, Michigan should at least get a legitimate look from any edge prospect they offer, right? You know, props to Kansas. They've had a great year. Lance Leopold, great head coach, probably going to be seeing some bigger opportunities coming his way after this season. But, again, we're talking about what Michigan's done at the edge position. I mean, we're every Sunday highlights from somebody that Michigan's had, whether it's Rashawn Gary, David Ojabo, Aiden Hutchinson, Quiddy Pace had a good start to his season with Indianapolis, right? I mean, it's actually, it, you almost forget Josh Uche. Like, you almost forget how many guys are in the pros right now at that position. That's how well Michigan's done there. So, you got to think.
Mike Dana.
Yeah, 1 year there. I mean, it's crazy. So, again, if you're an edge prospect, you at least have to give Michigan a look, in my opinion, right? I mean, I don't know how you don't at least consider them. So, but that being said, you mentioned Texas and Washington, Bryce. They did offer before he committed to Kansas. So he did choose Kansas. You know, was he a take at Texas? We'll see. I mean, Texas is recruiting at a really high level. But either way, he had some legit offers and chose Kansas instead. So, got to think Michigan will at least get their swing here, but not necessarily a slam dunk at this point.
So have you guys heard if he's going to be taking visits? Has he said anything publicly about taking visits any places?
Not yet, publicly.
Here's why I ask that question, because first of all, Lance Leipold is I've said this a lot. Like, if Michigan State, if they were smart, that's the guy.
1,000. I've said the same thing, Sam.
If they were smart.
100%. I agree. All the way.
You look at these other dudes. Like, I like Dickert at Washington State is outstanding, and the benefit there, he could bring Cam Smith with him. The coach at Oregon State, he's another one whose name is hot, but those guys have never been this part of the country. And you wonder if they get the kind of – that style is not conducive to winning at the level that Michigan State wants to win. Like, you can be a flash in the pan with that basketball on grass style, but you better be able to pound it. And those aren't pounded teams. But Lance Leipold, you look at his track record everywhere he's been. And he's I think he's from Wisconsin. So he's from the footprint. Everywhere he's been like coach of the year, like in the conference. He's been coach of the year. He brings a physical, hard-nosed edge. They're going to run the football. They're going to play defense. He recruits the state of Michigan. So, I saw him at the Sound Mind, Sound Body camp at Wayne State, addressing the kids and addressing parents. And one of the things that stands out, and here's why I asked the question about Warner taking visits, he was very out front saying, hey, if a kid is committed to us, we're committed to him. But as soon as he starts showing he's not fully committed to us, then we're not fully committed to him. So if a kid's committed to us and he wants to take visits, we'll be like, okay, well, wait, you gave us your word, and as soon as you start doing something different, well, hey, we might have to start looking elsewhere too. That will be something interesting to watch with Deshaun Warner, because the policy seems pretty clear there for Kansas. Now, that maybe is with the majority of Kansas prospects. This obviously is a guy in their class, and maybe – Lance Leipold is running into, you got to have different rules for the guy or the guys in your class. So we'll see if that works out, if this one works out that way.
Feel like, didn't Freeman kind of try to do the same thing even at a big school like Notre Dame? I feel like they were like, they would drop kids but then they had some of their top guys. It's really, really hard to recruit against the big dogs and try to hold a policy like that. But if you're Kansas and he's already going to visit, you know what I mean? Like, I guess in a certain level it makes sense, but theoretically, if he was to go to Michigan State, it'd be very difficult to recruit like that. Especially if you almost become a victim of your own success if you're putting out better evaluations than your competitors are, and so you got these guys that other schools are looking to poach, like, you kind of, interesting though. And I totally agree on him as being prime candidate for Michigan State. I think Michigan State needs to go the gritty route if they're going to find success in the Big Ten. I don't think they will either. I agree. they would need to like embrace the Wisconsin type style, I feel like, to compete. Well, but I agree. They seem to like the bells and whistles too much.
Bells and whistles. If they went gritty, the gritty they would go would be Narduzzi.
Sure.
I could so see them bringing Pat Narduzzi back to be the head coach there. You got Izzo in there helping out. You got D'Antonio in there helping out. I think it's going to be in our doozy. We'll see. But, you know, one of the byproducts to Bryce, you saying, has been hit or miss, and they missed. They had some decommitments. They missed on some targets, right? You know, you can hang your head and mope about that, or you can kind of use it as an opportunity. You know, if your class is full at this point, you aren't in position to do the senior eval thing that brings into your plate a Deshaun Warner or Bryce, a guy that we watched last summer that I felt like last winter, I should say. And it was like, man, this dude is going to be a dude. This guy, maybe not at the position that we watched him, but this is going to be a dude. And slowly but surely, behind the scenes, this is a guy in Michigan is evaling for his senior season now. But Desmond Stevens out of Clarkston is a guy who is shooting up the rankings, the in-state rankings, and seems to be shooting, you know, stronger and stronger on the Michigan's radar.
Yeah, so actually before we talked or before we start the podcast, we mentioned how Alan True, one of our, you know, colleagues here on 24/7 Sports, has bumped him up to an 89, which is a high 3-star, knocking on the door of a 4-star. And Sam, you mentioned we went to that Rising Stars camp back in the winter, and he was the guy that, you know, when you see a lot of kids at these camps, you know, but, and you don't know all faces, you know, you get a roster, you're looking at the roster, but it never matches up. So you're asking yourself, who's this kid? Who's this kid? You're seeing these one-on-one reps, and you see this huge, lanky, long kid walk out there. And you're like, all right, let's see what he's got. He goes that corner. So you're like, all right, this is interesting. And at the time, it was Jalen Todd. He was the hot name who's committed to Kansas. And so we're watching, and I'm like, okay, you know, he's doing pretty good. He's doing pretty good. We see Elijah Dotson, who's now a top target for Michigan, the 2025 class. He lines up at wide receivers. All of a sudden, we see this kid from Clarkston, Desmond Stevens, line up at cornerback. Next thing you know, he makes a play on the ball. We're like, whoa. It's like, this is not what we're expecting, especially at 6'3", 210 pounds. He could play linebacker. He could do a lot. And I think Steve, I don't know how where you see him fitting on the – I mean, he's projected at so many positions. But you watch his senior film, and he's the guy that you can see has been moved around quite a bit for Clarkston. And one of the guys from West Bloomfield hit me up, and they just played Clarkston. They lost 44-36, and they said Clarkston had this one kid who was just a game wrecker. And who was it? Desmond Stevens. And this is a guy that was committed to Boston College – who they've done really good in terms of evaluations looking at that position. And when Michigan is looking at these, you know, senior season films, they're looking for guys, I think, that Steve mentioned this again before the podcast, that have position versatility, flexibility, where you can move them around. And I think that's the thing you see with Stevens is he could play corner. I think personally he'd be better at maybe like a free or strong safety. Shoot, he could even play linebacker for all, you know. I mean, he could even play wideout. We've seen him do that his senior season. He's putting up monster numbers, and he's a guy I personally think they should offer and go from there, because let's say they do like him at safety. You have Jacob Bowden, but you kind of missed on Zaquan Patterson. I know he's still kind of in the mix, and he's talking about coming up for the Ohio State game, but I think a combination of Jacob Bowden and Desmond, you know, Stevens would be a great pairing, because one, you can move Jacob to corner, or you can put him as a free safety, and you could put him, Desmond Stevens, as a strong safety. I think that combination right there would be perfect. And he's an in-state guy, you know, so you know he's got the connections around the state. You know the coaching staff knows him and the coaching staff at Clarkston extremely well. It just seems like a perfect fit. We're going to see if they actually do offer, but he's definitely a guy to keep an eye out going forward.
Yeah, he's one of those dudes. I remember vividly watching him at corner thinking, man, he's very fluid. You know, he's a guy that in the hands of a right coach, if you wanted to play him out there, because he has to play, so he's not a turner run, you know, he's not a speed burner, right? So there are some kids who who had a foot speed advantage, were able to get him a couple times with him playing corner. But you could tell he's raw at the position. He just needs some coaching. If he's coached to use his size to his advantage and strength to his advantage, get his hands on guys, he could be really impactful. I was really impressed for a kid that big to move like he did. And I'm not talking about, you know, straight line speed. I'm talking about change of direction, right? The ability to sink his hips and kind of come out of a break with a smaller, quicker guy. This is a dude who, if you played him at safety, you feel comfortable with some of the coverage things that Michigan wants him to do. So I would like him better at safety if it's me. Because it's not all about, you know, him being out on the island asking him to cover. Because I think the dude is going to be 225 pounds. And it'll look different on him than it looked, or 215. It'll look different on him than R.J. Moten. R.J. Moten wasn't a very fluid guy to begin with. And so when he added weight, it was like, I mean, the coverage things that they wanted to do didn't really fit him. So that's why you started to see like a Quentin Johnson move ahead of him in a lot. That's why you wound up seeing him transfer, right? You know, I think he would have been a guy who was better served to play linebacker. In the case of Desmond Stevens, I think he could legitimately play safety. And I know that's where you like him, and I would like him there too. But if I had my druthers, Steve, I would play this dude at linebacker. And that's how you look at this class. We're going to talk about this coming up. Man, you put 30 pounds on this dude, and you keep his speed like Ben Herbert can do, and think about the havoc you can wreak with him at three levels. I mean, he could cover backs and tight ends, right? He'd probably be a hell of a blitzer. There is just so much you could do with a chess piece like that if you had that as your vision of playing him as a linebacker in this class. But this is one of those guys. If you're a coach, it's like a lump of clay. You can mold them how you want to.
That was my thought too, Sam. I think the biggest thing for Michigan would be the two big things they're looking at right now, linebacker athleticism, which we know he has, and would he embrace attacking, playing the point of attack? Those are the two big things that Michigan seems to be looking for on the recruiting trail at linebacker. If he's willing to play with a physical brand of football, I mean, yeah. I mean, those are things you can't measure athletically as far as like what he could provide from a linebacker position. So, and like you said, there's like six guys in this class that could end up at a few different, and even just on the defensive side of the ball, that could end up at a few different positions. So, yeah, I think you take a kid like this who has the measurables that you can't teach and the athleticism that you can't teach, and you take him. And then you get him to campus and you figure it out later. I mean, how many guys like that has Michigan had success with at this point, right? I mean, it makes almost too much sense. And as Bryce said, maybe as importantly, he's right in your backyard. You might not have to do the whole song and dance for 3 months to get him committed to your class. You know, you're spinning your wheels trying to get a kid like Zaquan Patterson up for another visit where there's literally next to no chance you're going to get a kid like that to flip from a program like Miami with the way they're operating right now. So, you know, best case scenario to have a kid in your own backyard pop up right in that senior season. I think Michigan looks for that, as most schools should, you know, look for guys in your backyard. And you get another guy like this who does have some similarities to a few other guys in Michigan's class, guys we know they love. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it kind of leads into a topic that I want to get to before we talk to Jared Wangler. And that is kind of like your class take right now. You look at this class, you think what? And for me, I think versatility. There, you have a number of guys in Michigan's class right now. They might be listed at a position, but really technically they're athletes. A few of them have the athlete designation, or a couple of them have the athlete designation. Mason Curtis has the athlete designation. Jacob Oden has the athlete designation. Did I say Mason Curtis already? He has it as well. Jaden Smith. Jaden Smith is the other who has the athlete designation. I take a guy like this because you bring them all in, and then you figure it out. You figure out who fits best at what position, and maybe you find out that one of those guys, man, this guy, Mason Curtis, I'm just throwing it out there. Mason Curtis fits so much better at edge. All right, so that means that I'm gonna play Desmond Stevens at linebacker. He could play edge, but I'm gonna play him at linebacker, right? Or he could play safety, but I'm gonna play him at linebacker because I'm moving Mason Curtis up to edge. I look at this class and I see so many guys like that. What is Jaden Smith? You talk to Sam Griner, he's like, man, he could be a safety. And man, he could be he's an outstanding linebacker. Man, he could be an edge. Some people think he's an edge. When you have versatility like that and coaches who know what they're doing, who can develop players, sometimes it's even better because now you are able to capitalize on the upside of players that maybe aren't reflected in the rankings. Like none of these guys that we're talking about are ranked 5-star guys. Some of them aren't even ranked 4-star guys. But if you were to do the rankings right now, for instance, on Mikey Sainristal, Mikey Sainristal was like a mid to low level 3-star. You think that'd be Mikey Sainristal's ranking now? If they knew Mikey Sainristal could play corner and nickel the way he could play corner and nickel? That's what I'm talking about with this class, Steve, that there is tremendous versatility. And at this point, if I'm Michigan, I continue to recruit to that with a guy like Desmond Stevens.
100%. Yeah, I kind of think Jaden Smith is an edge, just as an aside. I just feel like if they bulk him up. I remember the quote from Griner talking about how low he can get to the ground, his bend. That sticks out to me because those are the kind of guys that will be beating tackles and getting to the quarterback consistently. So, again, may depend on how much weight they can put on him, but either way, a really good ball of clay. For me, I think Michigan fans should rest easy as far as Michigan's efforts at running back. Jordan Marshall's had a huge season. I think we kind of expected that. Didn't he just set Moeller's all-time rushing record, right? Which you think, okay, high-level recruit, but Moeller's one of the most prestigious high school programs in Ohio, let alone in the country. You know, so that's a huge accomplishment for him, so congratulations. And then Micah Capanna's film so far this season has been very good, in my opinion. Bishop Gorman, they like to hand the ball off to a few different guys. So there have been a couple games where he's put up the stats, but you don't need to put up the stats. You just need to watch the film to see the burst, you know, the explosiveness that he provides. Him and Marshall actually kind of a nice yin and yang a little bit when you watch the two of them side by side at running back. So another class where, you know, they got there. There was the whole taking Micah Capanna before Taylor Tatum even visited Michigan officially thing. I think you can forget about all that. Again, Taylor Tatum probably going to be a really good college football player. Nothing, not a knock on him by any means, but I think Michigan did great at the running back position and looked good for the foreseeable future there right now.
Bryce, your big takeaway from this class, and just real quick, I had to go and look at the measurables. I knew this, but Cole Sullivan, 6'3", 200 pounds, right? Jaden Smith, 6'3", 200 pounds. You keep going. Mason Curtis, 6'4", 200 pounds. Desmond Stevens, 6'3", 210 pounds. I mean, there's a theme to this
clones
and an interchangeability to it that I think could really work for them. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm going on Desmond Stevens if I'm them, Bryce.
100%. I'm, and you know, we didn't really talk about this too much, but I think he's got the chance to blow up too. If you look at his offer list, and we talked about this even before the podcast, it's not like he's got like, you know, Deshaun Warner type offers of Washington and Texas. He's got like Indiana, I think he's got Duke and Purdue as his other high par 5 offers. But after that, it's pretty much the MAC, and that's it. And I think once some of these schools start to see his senior film, he's going to see more offers come his way. And I don't even think he's done with his ranking. Keep going up. I think he's got a chance to even go further up the rankings. But in terms of my two thoughts, I would say, for this class so far, one, super productive from some of the guys you kind of want to see. So Steve already mentioned Jordan Marshall, who's putting up great numbers. I think he's now, dating back to last year, the last 9 games, he's rushed for over 100 yards. So super productive. He's getting the job done. After seeing him in person, he's not like a home run hitter. You know, he can churn out five yards, 4 yards here, 3 yards here. He can do what Michigan loves to do. You know what I mean? Just kind of ground and pound you. So he fits perfectly. Super, super productive. Jane Davis, I mean, he's 98 of 125 for passing. So super accurate. He gets the ball to his playmakers. He's got 21 touchdowns. And the most important stat, zero interceptions to start the season. And you mentioned him, Sam, Cole Sullivan, who has nearly 50 tackles this past game, hit 12 tackles. He's playing multiple positions for his high school team, and they happen to be undefeated. So all these guys are super productive. They're playing multiple positions, some of these guys on their teams, and they're making an impact. And the other thing I think quietly we haven't talked about much, but this might be the best tight end class in the country with Brady Prescorn and Hogan Hansen. Two guys that don't get talked about tons because it's not a sexy position like the running back or quarterback. But those were two top targets that Grant Newsom put a lot of time and resources in. He recruited them. Those are guys that he really liked. They had multiple top offers. He landed them both. And it's a position that Michigan uses quite often. And you add them to the mix next season with Colston Loveland. And then who else in the class? It's just one of those classes where I think those two alone separates, you know, what Michigan likes. And that's what Jim Harbaugh wants in his offense. He wants big physical tight ends that can block, which check, they can do that, but also catch the ball, make guys miss in the open field. And they can do that as well. So those are the two main takeaways I got so far.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how things round out with this class. But, yeah, there have been some misses. But, boy, there's a lot to like still in the class right now. Let's see how they close things out. I really like how, you know, what, Roman Wilson, a nation leader in touchdowns. Man, that goes well on the recruiting trail as they try to close things out with flipping a few guys like we talked about last week on the receiver side of things. Now we're looking at some potential flips on the edge side of things. We'll see how that works out. Right now we need to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, listen, NIL is a real thing. I think NIL, you talk about some of these departures from Michigan's class, I think NIL had a lot to do with it, is my opinion on the matter. And so stands to reason that we should talk more NIL on the Michigan Recruiting Insider. And so we're going to start doing that on at least one episode a month. We're going to be joined on the other side by Jared Wangler, former Michigan Wolverine, guy who one of the head guys at Valiant and, of course, the Champion Circle Collective. He's going to give us the latest on what's going on with Champion Circle. Their work with Michigan football feels like Michigan football. I don't know if Michigan football is really working with any other collective right now. Feels like Champion Circle is the only one. So we'll find out some of the things that are going on there and some of the things that may be on the horizon and what Michigan is competing against. What's real? What's fact? What's fiction? We'll get into all that with Jared Wangler on the other side here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider. And I've been teasing for the last couple of weeks that we are going to spend more time from this point forward talking NIL. NIL as it relates to Michigan, NIL as it relates to recruiting, not as an inducement for recruits, but how NIL goes on an institution's campus will impact the recruiting prowess of those respective schools. Michigan is not clearly not immune to that. So it stands to reason that we should find out what's going on with NIL at Michigan. And there's no better source to talk about you know, that with than a guy who I covered when he was in high school, covered when he was in college, and watching him do his thing now as the founder and CEO of Valiant Management Group and one of the early builders of the Champion Circle Collective, which if you look around, I know Michigan supports, there are a few collectives they support, but certainly the one that you see as it relates to football here, the one that you see football working with almost exclusively is the Champion Circle. His name is Jarrett Wangler. Jarrett, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Sam. Appreciate you having me on as always. Always a pleasure getting on together.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And it's fitting that I have you on first for this sort of initiative with our programming to kind of bring people up to speed on what's going on with NIL, because there's so, you know this, there's so many misconceptions out there about what Michigan is doing NIL-wise, what they aren't doing NIL-wise. And so let's just start off first with that very basic question. What do you think is the biggest misconception about NIL at Michigan and how it's going?
Well, I'd say, you know, we're approaching year three here, and there's obviously been like a negative stigma around it from the beginning. And that's something that, you know, our group, I know the student athletes, the administration, the coaching staff, everybody in the Michigan community is trying to fight, because I don't think it's an accurate representation of sort of where the space has matured to. And I mean, really, we're sitting here in 2023, what it looks like today versus what it'll look like in 2025 and 26 and beyond, it'd be much different. But there's a ton of incredible things taking place. I know our department has really invested into more resources for the student athletes. I know there's great educational tools and programs on campus. As you mentioned, the Champion Circle, that collective has really grown significantly over the last 12 months. And you know, we continue to kind of beat the drum and really try to educate everybody on who it is and what it is and how it can make a positive impact on Michigan athletics. And then what I do, you know, majority of my day to day is sports marketing. That's really what I really enjoy and sink my teeth into. And it's exciting to see brands like really interested in getting into the space and working with our student athletes at Michigan. We just have great young people that are phenomenal representations of the institution themselves, but are also great brand ambassadors for businesses. And so looking back on last year, it's pretty fun to kind of take a look at the numbers and see what percentage of deals were done from what I'd call the community, which are your fans and your alumni that are contributing to the collective, versus what's actually coming in from the market. And that's real commercial NIL dollars. And of the $6 million we paid out last year, is a little over 55% for commercial and about 45% from the community, which is the collective. So really trying to educate and kind of fill the gaps for everybody to be aware of how they can support is the number one mission right now. And, you know, again,
being on your show with somebody like you, such a great platform and trusted voice. It's just, again, super appreciative of you having me on, just to kind of do our best to tell people like, hey, this is how you can be involved, because there's not a barrier to entry to support, and it's right here in Ann Arbor, and it's making a significant impact in such a volatile and new space. It's very important, as you cover, mainly, it's hard. It's got to make, Michigan is attractive for so many reasons, but NIL is a pillar, in that process.
So when you talk, when you say collective, let's kind of weave this together for the viewer or listener who they hear a collective, they aren't quite sure about how a collective works within this. Like, what did it mean when the university came out and said, we officially endorse the Champion Circle? And then from that point, how does a collective work with a program or work with an institution or a student athlete? How does all that come together?
Right. So definitely a good bit to unpack there. I guess starting from the top, a Champion Circle is a collective. And what a collective is, it's the Michigan community. I mean, it's everybody from a donor that's supported the university through a philanthropic contribution over time. It's your everyday fan that wants to contribute to our membership program and receive certain perks in exchange. It's businesses that want to contribute and also get a bit of an ROI through a marketing opportunity. It's the community at large that wants to support Michigan student athletes through supporting their name, image, and likeness. So that's what Champion Circle is. And it's been built out now. We have a team of 10 individuals working really, really hard to raise money, to not only do it through a commercial transaction, but also make an impact, not only with the student athlete, but on the community. So that's what it is. And when you look at the implications of becoming an official partner of the university, myself and everyone on our team, we don't take that lightly in the slightest. I mean, it's a really important thing to us to represent the University of Michigan in the highest degree and do everything in an ethical manner, and also do it by the rules. And so, as we both well know, that's not the rules of engagement around the country. There are collectives out there that are definitely participating in a different set of rules. But the way the collective operates at Michigan is we're working together to raise as much money as possible, and then kind of amplify those dollars with brand dollars to create marketing opportunities for our student athletes and really make Michigan a competitive place in that space.
So we know that their pay for play is not supposed to be a part of NIL, and yet it is in some places, right? But even though that's happening at other places, it does not mean that you can't still be competitive in the space doing it the way that it was intended. And so my question to you is, because I think this can be really, really beneficial to Michigan, how are the student athletes, the current student athletes at Michigan? I think I heard you say $6 million the collective paid out. Do you have a sense for how much overall student athletes at the University of Michigan earned NIL-wise last year, in addition to what was paid out from through Champion Circle?
It's a great question. And I'd like to also make it a point when we talk about pay for play. What Sam means by that is are a significant amount of collectives out there that are utilizing their fund to go and pay a high school recruit and sign a contract with them to come to the university, right? That's a pay for play model. That's not something that Champion Circle or Valiant engage in. It's all about rewarding the current student athletes. Everything for our student athletes that are here at Michigan, that are doing things the right way, that are impactful and leaders in the community, that's what it's about. And when you just look at how this is shaping out across the country, it's it is difficult to compete with those that are giving guarantees to high school recruits or are tampering with current rosters. And it's important for people to understand that where there's a market to be had, there's a market to be made. And when professional sports agencies are also participating and helping negotiating these contracts for not only high school recruits, but for members of a current roster, somebody that's enrolled that as a student that's not in the transfer portal. It's really difficult to sort of wrap your arms around. And so that is something that's obviously a major need for some sort of regulation. We all know college sports has been long overdue for some reform in a way, but you look back to your original questions, just like how much do we believe that student athletes made, I guess outside of what we've done between Valiant Management Group and Champion Circle. I'm hoping it's the most in the country, right? We don't have a way of sort of tracking that unless, we can only see the deals and opportunities that we bring to the table. We work non-exclusively with all of our student athletes and we encourage them. Like this is a great window of time in your life. Obviously you need to keep what's important, right? Getting great education, being a great person in the community, competing at the highest level. I tell a lot of my clients on the football side in particular, especially when they're a first, second, third round draft pick potential kind of individual, maybe don't go after that small, deals aren't small, but a four-figure deal during the season when you're really chasing after, a significant first round signing bonus or signing. Like I'm trying, it's easy to get caught up and making everything about chasing after as many opportunities as possible and losing sight of the bigger picture. And that doesn't just go for a potential first round draft pick or lottery pick in basketball. That goes for all student athletes because your window of time at Michigan is so special and there's such a great opportunity to get that great education that you don't want to lose sight of what's a priority for you over small, insignificant opportunities that aren't something that are benefiting the bigger picture. Now that's like not painting a pessimistic picture of chasing the opportunities because they're incredible and they've done so much for our student athletes and they're more than well earned, but always just trying to keep a big picture perspective and be the best sort of representation of that as we continue to build this initiative.
Yeah. Keep the main thing that goes without saying, because if you aren't doing what you're supposed to do in your sport, that has a way of making the NIL dry up, right? It makes those opportunities limited and can compromise things beyond your current opportunity at Michigan. So I get that. But $6 million from Champion Circle and Valiant alone, that's just from this. And you said you deal non-exclusively. So we know that there was more money on top of that institutionally for the student athletes here. That to me is a real lure. It's a real lure on the recruiting trail. And you talked about the difficulty that exists when it comes to competing with schools that are doing it a different way. How about this, Jared? I mean, you look around at some states, the state legislatures seem to be going out of their way to pass laws that assist their schools from an NIL, not just an NIL perspective, but in a player recruitment perspective as well. Have you guys taken note of that? And what do you think about that, which is going on elsewhere across the country?
Yeah. I mean, we're monitoring the situation as it continues to unfold. And when you look across the country, it's evident. I mean, the politicians, the senators, the congressmen and women, I mean, they're doing what's in the best interest of their in-state universities. They want to retain their talent. They don't want their in-state talent in Alabama going down to Louisiana. And that's from a business standpoint, I completely understand that. From a, is it good for the sport? Is it good for college athletics? It's too early to tell. Just initial gut reaction is that it does add, to the chaos that's been brewing for quite some time. But when you look at the state of Missouri, right? I mean, it's been a storyline, right? I mean, their in-state universities are allowed to use their collectives for recruiting inducements. That's not against the law. And so I guess in practice, could you imagine if the in-state collectives here in Michigan could go out and contract with high school student athletes, right? I mean, that's really the implications of what Missouri just did. And you look at the state of Texas, I believe they just went out and pretty much gave diplomatic immunity to the collectives and said, the NCAA, You're not relevant to the type of sport we're playing here. And that's a bigger picture question, as if college football and college basketball, what it looks like moving down the road here in the next 2 to 3 years. I just think the landscape is going to continue to shift, and it's going to continue to evolve. And that's a big part of this, is the culture around it needs to evolve as well. We need to accept the fact that college sports has not been amateurism, especially for, you know, the institutions for the past few decades. I mean, these media right deals have just absolutely soared through the roof. The sponsorship deals are soaring through the roof, and the footwear deals, those contracts are continuing to soar through the roof. And so it's been a commercialized product for quite some time now, and the student athletes, they do deserve a seat at the table. And at Michigan, it's such an incredible institution, and it takes the community at large to really buy into this thing and to really work together on how to build a sustainable model that really puts the student athletes first, and is also keeping in mind with trying to field and compete with the landscape across the country, which right. It's slated in the favor of a lot of our competitors.
Yeah. Can you kind of follow the ideal and compete at the same time? It's kind of the grand experiment going on right now. Right now. And so, which begs the question in the here and now. So we've kind of laid out the state of affairs, NIL nationally, and how NIL is being implemented here in Michigan. All right. So now talk to the viewer or the listener. What can they do? I'm Joe Fan, and I want to help NIL at Michigan. I maybe want to help NIL at Michigan through the Champion Circle. How mm-hmm. can I do that? Or I'm a business owner and right. I want to do the same thing. How do I do that?
You can tune into Sam Webb every day, and you can donate $1 to the Sam Webb, Jared Wangler Champion Circle Fund, and we'll make sure 100% of the net proceeds gets to our student athletes. I mean, it's so fascinating to me because it's such a, it's really sparked so many just creative initiatives. So you look around the country, and I believe at Louisville this weekend, they're doing an in-stadium fundraising initiative where I think at the end of the first quarter, you know, it's a sold out crowd against Notre Dame. They're going to put it up on the scoreboards, and they're going to encourage all the fans. I'm not sure how big Louisville Stadium, it's much smaller than what we have at Michigan, but it's not an insignificant megaphone. And they're able to pull out their wallet, scan a QR code, and contribute to their collective. And I mean, really in theory, they can do the same thing here with Champion Circle, the Champion Circle, UofM.com. There's a membership program that fans can subscribe to that has different perks and benefits. And then there's also one-time giving opportunities on there. And 100% of those net proceeds are going towards where you decided to go. There's a drop-down menu. You can give it to any sport on campus. If you have a more direct initiative that you'd like to get to, you can put a comment in the notes. I want to get to this specific student athlete. So we've really created it to be that seamless for the everyday fan. But we're also going to come out with some exciting and fun new ways to fundraise throughout this fall. And so stay tuned for that. We've got something in the works for the month of November that we're really excited about. And we're going to continue to build this. If you're a business, the University of Michigan, it is obviously such an incredible institution, and the student athletes being an extension of it, they're great brand ambassadors. And so Valiant Management Group, which is a sports agency that works with businesses that want to market with our student athletes, you can get in touch there at valiantuofm.com. And we have a marketing team that can kind of take you A to Z. But if you have a marketing budget and are looking to partner with Michigan Student Athlete, you can work through us. You could go through the influencer, the Victor's Exchange that Michigan has. And it's not as difficult of a process as sometimes it might be. It's not the ambiguous question space that it was 2 years ago. It's a much more established system now, although it does have so much room to grow, and we recognize that and we continue to build towards it. But those two websites, if you're looking to just contribute as a fan or a donor, championcircleuofm.com. And if you're a business and you're looking to do an actual marketing campaign, valiantuofm.com. Those are the two different avenues that we work off of.
So Empower Michigan over the summer came out with the Empower program. I think maybe that maybe confused some folks a little bit, because Empower is not a collective. Can you kind of explain the difference, and then how, for instance, will Champion Circle and Empower, how do they work together?
Yeah, it's a great question. And as Empower continues to evolve, really excited to engage as many members of the Michigan community as possible. But what Champion Circle is, it's a third party, right? Dollars are not allowed to flow through the institution to the student athlete. That's why Champion Circle is set up as a third party organization. Empower is a part of the university. It is a program, brainchild of an incredible entrepreneur, so many of us Michigan players, former and current, look up to. John Rachi and, you know, his team really put a lot of thought into like an enhanced player development program, something like you see what they do with the Miami Dolphins, where they run a business combine every year and they have awesome internal resources for their their professional athletes and the Dolphins on how to get engaged with business and get engaged with business people in the community that want to do different work or different educational seminars with their athletes. That's what John's brought to Michigan. And so the Empower program really is kind of the front door for several of our successful Michigan alumni that are looking to develop that one-to-one relationship with our student athletes and offer incredible educational workshops. They're offering awesome internship programs. And it's really a way to kind of drive that two-way relationship between an alumni and a student athlete. And so that's what's kind of been brewing in the Empower world. Where Champion Circle and Empower intersect, there has to be a line between there, because Empower is not allowed to facilitate NIL transactions. It's also not really supposed to be a part of like the actual deal flow. It's more of an educational and development tool. But there's obviously, I've known John, since I was a student athlete here. And he's somebody that I look up to and have conversations with, and we connect some of the donors that are coming in through the Empower lane. They can be introduced to the Champion Circle, and have a conversation if they'd like to give a monetary contribution. But, that's how the two work together. The easiest way I like to think about it, Champion Circle and Valiant, our job is to make our student athletes as much money, but Empower is more important, because Empower is actually teaching them how to save, what that money actually means, how to save that money, how to do something impactful with that money, how to connect with that business on a deeper level. Instead of just doing a marketing deal with that company, how about you go meet their CEO or their COO and talk about doing an internship? So it's really like taking it to the next level and offering something that isn't quite transactional by nature, but again, transformative by nature, which is what Michigan obviously is about. And so that's sort of how the two yin and yang off of one another.
All right. So I know, again, recruiting inducements are a part of this process for Champion Circle or Michigan or Empower, but I'm recruit and I'm watching this program right now, trying to assess the NIL opportunities at Michigan. Appeal to me. If I'm a freshman coming in, are there going to be opportunities for me at the University of Michigan? Are there going to be opportunities for me to connect with Champion Circle as a true freshman coming in the door to maybe, have access to this deal or that deal? Not guaranteed, but hey, I know that there are going to be some opportunities that are available to me as I walk in the door. Is that possible at the University of Michigan?
So it can't look like in the collective itself and myself, I cannot engage in a conversation with a recruit about NIL and promising opportunities. What the coaching staff and those involved, I guess, in recruiting process can do is they can provide case studies. Case studies are something that's super important if you're not engaging in pay for play, is being able to sit that 4-star running back down and say, hey, here's the portfolio of Blake Corum. Here's the portfolio of Donovan Edwards. Here's the portfolio down the list. And it does actually show what's really happening. And these are tangible deals that not only the coaching staff, but the players can talk about and show how they've gone to Michigan and they've earned it. That's where you can compete. But we can't go and say, hey, recruit X, I'm going to introduce you to Sam Webb, and he's got an awesome.
No. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to speak in the abstract. I'm not asking, can a recruit come to Jarrett? No, I'm saying speak into the atmosphere to student athletes who might be looking. And there are a lot of things out there reported about NIL in Michigan. Like, you don't, NIL in Michigan is not like NIL other places. Like, you won't get paid. We've been plenty of stories along those lines. And yet, we just heard you talk about all the money that was paid out to student athletes just last year alone. Right. And so that's what I'm speaking to. You know, if I'm a freshman or I'm a prospective student athlete and I'm looking at Michigan, that's why I asked the misconceptions question at the beginning. Right. Like, how well are student athletes at Michigan doing, in your opinion, relative to how they're doing elsewhere? How much of what we see out there is real money? Like, we see this athlete got an $8 million contract and that athlete got a $9 million. How much of that is really real?
Right. So again, a lot to unpack with that question. And the reality of it is that there are collectives out there that are so farther ahead in terms of fundraising than where we're at here at Michigan. And it's just a reality by nature. A lot of these collectives, they just existed under the table for decades now. And right. So, instantaneously, they'd already been doing it. Now it's just, they all kind of came together and it was kind of forming like a super team of kind of the nebulous kind of under the table deals that were going on. But look, the reality is there's some collectives out there that just based off of the contracts that we intercept, because I've seen dozens of contracts with prominent collectives around the country that are offering mid six figure deals that read like X amount of dollars over 2 years for you to, be a member of the team. And it doesn't read as be a member of the team because that would be pay for play. But what it looks more like is what a lot of talent agencies do when they're going to sign talent and it's competitive in recruiting. They're going to offer a marketing guarantee of some sort. And so a role player on a defense that does, it's not a quarterback, it's not a receiver, it's not a running back, that their real commercial market value may not be $500,000, just using that as an illustrative number. Their mark could not be $500,000, but what the collective will do is they'll contract that individual for a $500,000 marketing guarantee. And then in that contract, there will be certain services that they need to provide, appearances, marketing for some of their corporate partners, memorabilia, trading cards. And what they'll do is they'll use those assets to then sell against their marketing guarantee. So really, quite put, the recruit or the individual that's being recruited, they're looking at it as, great, I know exactly what I'm going to make in my 2, 3, 4 years at this university. Here it is in writing. I've got it. The collective is contracted to do this. Now I have to perform these services. And if I'm a defensive back, nothing against the defensive backs out there, there's just very few that are bringing in $500,000 in real commercial marketing deals. So yeah, that's taking place, right? That's a common practice with some of the universities that Michigan is competing against for the top talent. And so it does breed a very competitive atmosphere. When you look at it, it reminds me of what happened with facilities over the last 25 years. You just look at the arms race that took place because it was a big part of recruiting. And now it's, hey, I'm being recruited by you, school X, school Y, and school Z. And these two schools are giving me a marketing guarantee. And here's the contract for proof. And you guys aren't doing anything that's guaranteed. I'm sorry. I love everything about your school, but like, I come from a really underserved community and my family really needs it. I really need to go and get the guaranteed money. And so that's a really difficult hurdle to clear in some instances that I know our coaching staff staffs, it's not just football. This is happening in baseball. This is happening in wrestling. This is happening in both men's and women's basketball. This is happening across several sports. It's really difficult. And so I think that's still what the puzzle that everybody's trying to solve, because the pay for play model is illegal. And it's something that we're not permissible. It's not permissible for us to engage in, especially as a representation of Michigan. And so that's just kind of the reality that we're working with right now.
So you mentioned other sports. How much work are you doing with basketball, for instance? I feel as hard as it is for football to compete in this NIL environment, I think it's harder for basketball. I think it's, you know, there are fewer prospects to deal with, right? That's number one. And then number two, I think the operation is more entrenched in that sport than it is football. So it makes it more difficult over there. So how much work do you guys, just from an NIL perspective, do with the basketball programs?
We've done a fair amount of work with both the men's and women's team. I'd say last year we were excited with what we were able to do on the champion circle side for the men's and women's team. Still recognize there's so much room to grow. I mean, my background, I played football. I worked for a football agency coming out. And that's really what I know. I know that space well. I know which agencies are kind of, you know, in which spots. I know which brands want to spend in it. I understand recruiting a bit better. So basketball for me is it's something that I you know, I participate in helping fundraise for. But we've built out a staff to really try to put this in a better direction, because it's very difficult right now. I mean, it's just the way I understand it. I mean, there's some collectives out there that are offering $2-3 million deals for proven basketball players. And I think the difference with basketball relative to football is just like, you can identify talent earlier on, right? Like you go and you look at the top 30, 40 recruits. Sure, there's players that don't end up converting and kind of bust in a way. But the majority of that, like that top talent, like that's going to be the top talent, and they're going to be a one and done or two and out and go pro. And so I think that these collectives are, you know, I guess it's especially been entrenched in the sport for much longer, at least more prevalent than it has been in football. They've been operational for a long time. And from what we've been working towards, we recognize there's so much room to grow, and we would really encourage anybody that's listening out there, like, please support the basketball fund for Champion Circle. Please support our student athletes. Like, it is a huge area of need right now. And this is an avenue to do it. So yeah, I would just say it's really difficult. It's a new, it's a new word dynamic at Michigan versus, you know, some places around the country. It's been there, right? And it's been a little bit more institutionalized by nature.
Gotcha. Well, listen, this isn't going to be the last time that we have you on. We're going to be doing regular updates. We got to get Jordan Acker on. We're committed to giving regular NIL updates on this program. And so you're a crucial part of that. Before you go, Jared, tell the folks one more time, if they want to donate, if they want to contribute to the effort, the NIL effort at Michigan through Champion Circle and Value Management Group, how can they do that?
Yeah. So again, thank you for having me on. You know, really excited to continue to help educate and just talk about the space. But for those out there that are interested in supporting the collective, it's championcircleuofm.com. There's a drop-down menu. You can decide who you'd like your contribution to go to. 100% of the net proceeds on that website are going to the student athlete. And then if you're a brand or you're a business out there that's interested in working with student athletes who are incredible ambassadors out there, please visit valiantuofm.com. That's Valiant Management Group. And that's the sports marketing agency working very closely with our student athletes. So those are the two different avenues. And Sam, I can't thank you enough for giving us this platform and, you know, giving us the opportunity to sort of spread this to the Michigan community.
All right. Well, Jared, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds great. Thank you, Sam.
And that'll do it for this edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown with the crew of Bryce Marich and Steve Lorenz and I. To start things out, giving you your regular update, some more flip targets on the horizon. And, of course, as I promised, we are going to get deep into NIL on a more regular basis here on the Recruiting Insider, keeping you up to speed on what's going on with NIL at the University of Michigan. And with the collectives that support the student athletes that come here, Champion Circle being one of them. We're going to get an update as far as Empower and how that works at the University of Michigan. We're going to take you inside. And like I said, I promise, we're going to get Jordan Acker on here as well to give you sort of the regent and, kind of legislative view, what might be on the horizon as far as that's concerned. But before we go, a word to our great sponsor, Golden Limo. It's not just a company that I use for travel, for all the travel that I've done, whether it's, you know, airport trips, going to the airport so much over the course of a year, you know, save the headache of having to get to the airport and park and get all the bags, to have a transportation service whose attention to detail and safety and you know, history and track record is so pristine. There's nothing that is better than that. And that comes right from the top with their owner, Sean Duvall, who is not just a business owner, but a community leader. And that's another thing that really is important when you are talking about dealing with companies. You want to deal with people you know. You want to deal with people that give back. And that is certainly golden. And so my first golden experience of the football season was getting a golden transport to the opener, to the opening game of the season. As, you know, it was one of those deals where I didn't have a ride to the game and didn't want to have to park all day long because my days, it starts with the pregame show. And so I'm there at games, you know, 4.5 hours before kick and then another 2 hours after kick. So that's a very, very, very long day. And to have the transportation part of it totally taken care of on a day where I couldn't get a ride like I normally do, that was great. And that is Golden. A great way, not just for your airport transport, but also getting to the big house on game days. You might find it, you know, tough or difficult to do, not when you have a great transportation partner or you ride in the comfort with a company like Golden Limo. So again, it's not just transport in Ann Arbor. It's not just transport in the Southeast Michigan. It's wherever you go. You can have your transportation handled by Golden Limo from your doorstep to the airport to wherever you're going. And I know that from experience going back to my trip over to Paris and Rome. Golden took my family to the airport. And when we landed in Paris and Rome, they picked us up from the airport and the same thing in reverse. That is the Golden Limo difference. Excellent comfort, safety, people you can trust. Starting at the top with the owner, Sean Duvall. Michigan football rides on Golden. You see those big black buses that roll through? Those are Golden Limo buses. You can ride in the same kind of style. You go to goldenlimo.com. That is going to do it for this edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. If you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. They can find it wherever they get their podcasts. That's Google, that's Spotify, that's iTunes, you name it. Of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel. That's how you keep us going and growing. And then, of course, you can find everything we do over on themichiganinsider.com. And right now, you can get 2 months for just $1. Try it out. See if you like it. Promising you, you will. And then you'll be hooked with us over at themichiganinsider.com. That's where it all goes down. Until next time, folks, thanks for watching another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.